From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from John 14 and verse 21, "And will manifest myself to him." The Lord Jesus gives special revelations of himself to his people. Even if Scripture did not declare this, there are many of the children of God who could testify the truth of it from their own experience. They have had manifestations of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in a peculiar manner, such as no mere reading or hearing could afford. In the biographies of eminent saints, you will find many instances recorded in which Jesus has been pleased in a very special manner to speak to their souls and to unfold the wonders of his person. Yea, so have their souls been steeped in happiness that they have thought themselves to be in heaven, whereas they were not there, though they were well nigh on the threshold of it. For when Jesus manifests himself to his people, it is heaven on earth, it is paradise in embryo. It is bliss begun. Special manifestations of Christ exercise a holy influence on the believer's heart. One effect will be humility. If a man says, "I've had such and such spiritual communications, I am a great man," he has never had any communion with Jesus at all. "For God hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off." He does not need to come near them to know them, and will never give them any visits of love. Another effect will be happiness, for in God's presence there are pleasures forevermore. Holiness will be sure to follow. A man who has no holiness has never had this manifestation. Some men profess a great deal, but we must not believe anyone unless we see that his deeds answer to what he says. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He will not bestow his favors upon the wicked, for while he will not cast away the perfect man, neither will he respect an evildoer. Thus there will be three effects of nearness to Jesus: humility, happiness, and holiness. May God give them to thee, Christian.
Laid aside.
One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts. Entitled, How We Got Our English Bible, this short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. As Pastor Tamassian continues this series in 1 Thessalonians, he is focusing on verses 5 through 10 of chapter 3. In the opening verses of the chapter, We saw Paul's concern that the new believers in Thessalonica may have experienced a weakening in their faith because of the persecution by the Judaizers. He knew that Satan was angry at the advance of the gospel in that city. But Paul received word from Timothy that the church is standing fast in the Lord, and his heart rejoices. In this message, we see the connection between the sufferings of Christ and those of his people. Now to conclude, pastoral joy for a faithful church, here is the Reverend Armin Tomassian.
We are not to be jealous. We're not to be the kind of people that it only matters, or I only will be joyful if it applies to me. When they're rejoicing, let's rejoice with them. When they're weeping, let's weep with them. But you can only do that if you care, if you actually care. And Paul cared. That's why he's so concerned. He is the life, the very life is being drawn from him. And so when he gets this news, it brings relief. We were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith, hearing that your faith continues on. You're standing steadfast. You're being faithful. It actually brings comfort to my soul. What a relief. And you can apply this to many contexts of life. Faithfulness. Just to stop for a moment and think about faithfulness and the effect of faithfulness in all of us, in all of our experiences. If you ever own a business and you run your own affairs and you have to employ people, one of the things you will look for is faithfulness in your employees. And whenever you learn that they are faithful, that they can be trusted, that they're dependable, that they come in on time, and you can, and all the things you give them to do, they do it well and they do it heartily and so on, then it takes a weight off you. You actually sense relief, actual relief. And often it will be rewarded. You'll give them more responsibility. When a parent sees a child showing faithfulness, they are relieved. When a church sees evidence of a member being faithful, they are relieved. The oversight is. When you take it even to marriage, and some people have this idea that the greatest joy of marriage, or the greatest kind of, the great aim of marriage is for the affections to be right in terms of love and whatever that may look like as far as you define it. But really, love in its greatest manifestation often brings its greatest reward to our souls when what's undergirding it and underpinning it is faithfulness. You don't care one iota if someone shows all this affection in the world, but they're not faithful. If they're not faithful, it doesn't matter. What you're looking for is faithfulness. You want the love undergirded by faithfulness. When they're faithful, then you depend on them. You rest. You're relieved. But if for one second you're wondering, are they faithful? There's no relief there. Sleepless nights, sorrow, stress, anxiety, and all the impact that has upon the very physicality of our frame, faithfulness. It brought relief, that's the point. And to the point, if we can just go on a little more, to verse 8, it revives. It doesn't only relieve, it revives. Verse 8, for now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. Now we live. The implication is what? He was feeling a sense of death. A spirit of death that was being suffocated. The life and energy was being zapped out of Paul as he was just completely taken up with concern. Now, if you've ever been concerned about something to the degree that it keeps you up at night, then you will understand. And whenever suddenly it's lifted, when it's gone, when it's removed, maybe you're worried about losing a job or getting a job or news from the doctor, and these things, they weigh upon you, and just the very anxiety of not knowing and wondering and being concerned can remove life from us. So Paul says, now we live. Now we live. You've revived me. When Timothy walked through that door, when Timothy entered in, Paul was just waiting. Timothy, what's the news? Oh, Paul. You'd hardly believe it. They are going on. They're standing fast. The church has been added on to. This happened and that happened and all. The authorities sought to do this, that, and the other. This person, you remember them? They're suffering greatly. Their family's rejected. And that person, They're not selling anything anymore. No one will support them. All the Jews have stopped buying, but they're going on with God. And the community are coming together and they're supporting one another. They're helping one another. They're abounding in love. And he's just telling this news. And Paul is just his spirit just comes alive. Oh, try and put yourself there, beloved. Put yourself in that frame of being just bent double almost with anxiety and worry and concern and wondering, and has the work been destroyed? Has my labor been in vain? And then to get the news, the good tidings of your faith and charity, he comes alive. Now we live. If you stand fast in the Lord, because you're standing fast, and if you continue to stand fast in the Lord, you give us life. Again, look, most of you aren't maybe in the ministry, but so I put it right down to the family. When a loved one, when there's something amiss in a child or a sibling or in a parent, you will know how it takes over all your thought. You can hardly concentrate on anything at all. And then when the burden is lifted, then you begin to live again. You can't live with that kind of concern. That's because you care. You actually care. Your heart goes out to them. This was Paul. Remember when Jacob was just coming to mind, and Jacob said about his life being bound up in the child? That's the idea. If anything happens to him, if anything happens, you will bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. It will take the life out of me. And this is Paul. Now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. So it revives. Now, beloved, keep that in mind. If you want a revived leadership in the church, if you want your pastor to get up with a sense of life and vitality and with heart and with joy, add to his heart by showing your fidelity to the Lord, really. Your faith and charity. You go on with God showing faith and charity, the gospel developing within your heart and mind, and then the outworking of that in love toward the saints and toward your neighbor. When that's seen, when the pastor sees that, when the leadership see it, then their hearts rejoice. It actually gives life to them. But when it's not there, it brings concern. It really does. When you're missing, when you're absent, when you begin to detach yourself from the people of God, whenever the word is coming round of you entering into a relationship that is not going to help you in your walk with Christ, it brings concern. Just very quickly, in the revival that he experienced, it revived a couple of things. His prayerful thankfulness and his pastoral interest. You see that in verse 9 and 10. I'll not spend any time on these verses. I think they're fairly self-explanatory. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. Night and day praying. So joy itself has been revitalized within his heart. He's full of joy because of the news that he has received. And it has stimulated his pastoral interest. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lagging in your faith. I just want, again, I'm revived in my interest to get there, to get back, to get to you and to try and help you go on with God. Now, if he had heard bad news, he may have said the same. He may have said, look, I need to get over there and help. But it would have been a very different spirit. His whole journey back there, hundreds of miles, would have been with sorrow and grief, maybe with anger and frustration. But now he's going to go back there excited about what is happening in this city, what's developing in this church, and how God is using them. And their faith is spreading. Again, go back to chapter 1 here, just to refresh your memory. This is the news that is coming from Timothy. Verse 5, the gospel came, not unto you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word of much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Now, no doubt this was taking part while Paul was there, but obviously it was continuing. It was spreading. It was furthering. News is coming back from these places. Silas is returning from Macedonia with Timothy, or like Timothy, and coming to the Apostle Paul and saying, well, you know, they're hearing about it in Philippi. And there's just this converging of information that shows this church is going on with God. And it gives life. It revives thankfulness and gratitude to God and joy in the Holy Ghost and that pastoral interest in the people that he had, as he reflects there in verse 10. Now, this has much application to us. It really does. And I don't have time to make all of that application. My time is gone. But let me simply say this. The mark of faithfulness, again, if you go back to verse 8 and see it as kind of everything hinging there on verse 8. They're standing fast. They're continuing faithful. This is an honorable trait, beloved. You need to exhibit faithfulness. Faithfulness needs to be a mark of your life. Why? I mean, years ago, this was understood. Our parents and grandparents, depending on what age we are here this morning, but the previous generations understood faithfulness, loyalty. These were honorable traits that were exalted and lifted up, and still today, we have days where we remember people who evidenced loyalty to a cause, whether it would be in warfare or something else. Loyalty, courage, honor, faithfulness, dependability. But today it is completely the opposite. Everything in our materialistic age is militating to make you think differently about these traits. They are only honorable insofar as they relate to history, but in the present it's about you. You make sure you satisfy your own carnal desires. You make sure you make decisions based upon what makes you happy. Don't take into consideration anything about loyalty to your family, to your employer, to anyone else. Don't think in terms of fidelity, being faithful in your marriage. If you're not happy, just get out of it. This is the day in which we live. This is not the way it ought to be. Faithfulness. When it's hard, when it's tough, when the afflictions come, when the persecutions press, when you're experiencing the hardship of life, and everything in this world and in your flesh is telling you, avoid the hardship. Go back to how we began the message. Christ must needs suffer. And the first thing that the apostles taught to believers was, you're going to suffer. Now, we don't have the outward persecutions that they faced. We don't have that. But God will ensure you face hardship. It's by that we sang about it. And he ensures we face hardship because therein we evidence the fact that we belong to him. And we begin to hanker after glory and realize that this isn't my final abode. It's not about just joy in this life. But all my afflictions, they work for me. What? Far more precious and eternal weight of glory. I'm looking for something to come. Like the Lord himself. And this is it. God himself is faithful. He is absolutely faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Psalm 36:5. His faithfulness reacheth on to the clouds. You depend upon that every morning. So you say, and you sing, great is thy faithfulness. Every morning. You depend on the faithfulness of God. And God is putting his heart, his spirit into you as his child. Faithfulness. Do not adopt the mentality of the age. Do not adopt the philosophy of me and my way. Faithfulness. First and foremost to the Lord. But then as it works itself out in all your relationships, in every area of your life, when the going gets tough, you do not take the easy way out. You embrace the difficulty. As Paul would say to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, young Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. This is what our Lord did, isn't it? He endured hardness. He went to the cross so that this meeting this morning has relevance. If there's no Jesus Christ who goes to the cross and rises again the third day, this meeting, pointless. The epitome of faithfulness is Jesus Christ knowing all of his suffering. And setting his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem so that you might never bear the judgment of God for your sins. You're set free from the wrath of God. You're unfettered from the real concerns that we ought to have in relation to eternity. Not just in time, this little moment of suffering. But he permits, he wills, he even creates the environment that will put us into affliction and hardship. But he has taken away all of the eternal torment we deserve for our sins. Let us evidence our genuine conversion by being faithful, beloved, in every area and opportunity that he gives to every one of us.
been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.